If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I will read verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
I was determined that I was going to turn that on before I said a word. One out of four isn't bad. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you. And before I start sharing what the Lord has given to me, I just want to thank you as a congregation for allowing me to be here these weeks. I appreciate the fact that your pastor invited me, and it was a surprise, but it was a joyful surprise. We're so glad that we were able to come and be part of this fellowship time. We do want to say, generally speaking, without picking out people's names and everything, but we were taken out for a few meals, and we had a meal in a home. It was all good, and the fellowship was good, and so was the food, by the way. I didn't starve at all this month, which is kind of obvious, but the Lord is very good to us, isn't he? And I don't want to be redundant about things, but when Gloria and I come to this church, a lot of memories flood in on us. And so it's hard for an old person like me not to reminisce, but I am going to resist that this morning, because that's not our purpose. But I do thank you. And my heart has been refreshed and renewed. Sometimes when I'm sitting in our apartment, I think, what good am I anymore? You know, and so it's always good when God opens up a door. And he's opened up another door for us in April. So we will be traveling
August.
Had the first letter right anyway. In August, to go back to a church that we did an interim in for a year, up in the Northern Tier. So it's going to be a little longer of a ride for us than coming to here. But please pray for us. During August, my desire is to preach every Sunday if I can, as long as God gives me strength and a stool to sit on. I will do what he wants me to do. And so I just want to thank you for being patient and for the attentive ear that you have given to me. After you've preached and been in the ministry for 50 years, you know when you put people to sleep and you know when you don't. And I'm not going to tell you how you guys were. Yes, I am. You've been very, very attentive. And I appreciate that very, very, very much. Now, this morning I have gone, you know, I say this probably every week, but I say I'm going to preach from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I'm going to do that again because this, what was read this morning, I have committed that to memory. It's a very important part of God's Word for us to keep us moving in the direction that God wants us to be going in. So I've entitled it several different things. One of the titles is in the bulletin, Thinking Straight. Or we could say Thinking Straight in a Crooked World. Or Living Upright in an Upside Down World. There's a lot of those kinds of titles that we could put to this portion of Scripture, because I think we need to be reminded that even though the culture around us is very negative, that being a Christian is probably harder today than it has ever been in our lifetime. And it doesn't, unless God intervenes in some very unique and special way, and He certainly is capable of doing that, we are going to face more persecution, and Christians are going to be looked down upon and frowned upon and criticized. But when I get to this portion of Scripture, it's encouraging, because He starts out in this portion of Scripture, before I actually get to the text verse that I want to talk about, He talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome. And it was the year 61 AD or AD 61. That prison was not a nice place. And if you read through Philippians and some of the other prison epistles, you realize that while Paul was in prison, he was suffering for the name of Jesus. That's why he was there, actually. It's because he stood up in that world, or our world, and said, Jesus is the life. Jesus came into the world to redeem sinners. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life. Jesus is everything. He's our all in all. He's our Savior. And He went every place He went. It didn't make any difference if He was interacting with the intellectuals of the day, or whether He was ministering to the outer caste people that culture threw aside, like the lepers and the lame and the blind and the mute. It didn't make any difference. He has come to minister to us. And in that, we should be rejoicing. We don't rejoice because of our circumstances, but we rejoice because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and He is our hope of glory. And so this portion of Scripture begins with those words. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then He moves on. Let your gentleness be known among known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I'm encouraged by that portion of Scripture, that verse. We have the responsibility to be gentle in this rough world. I want to tell you, I think our neighbors need to see the gentleness of Christ in our life while we're mowing our yard next to their yard, if you have a neighbor that's that close. They need to see the joy of the Lord. They need to know that we are happy. Well, we're not happy with the circumstances that we may be living in the culture, but we are certainly happy in Jesus, and we're gentle in Him because we know that He has all of this under control. There's not one thing that happens in this world today that Jesus doesn't have it in control. And there are times when the pressure's on. So we're reminded that the Lord's at hand. Now, if you read the commentaries, if you read five commentaries, you'll probably have four different opinions about what that means. But the fact of the matter is, simply what it means is Let our gentleness be known in our culture because the Lord is with us. Don't ever forget the fact that our Lord Jesus abides with us. He is with us. He lives within us. He strengthens us. He holds us up. He holds our hand in whatever circumstances that we are finding ourselves. And then there are other people, other opinions would say, it's because Jesus is coming back again. Oh, that's true. He is. I believe in the imminent return of Jesus. So let our gentleness be known in this world because Jesus is coming back again and he said, reach as many as possible. So however you want to look at that, may the Spirit of God teach you about the fact that the Lord is near. I like the fact that he lives in my heart. That it doesn't make any difference whether I'm in Walmart, which I haven't been in Walmart for 2 years. In fact, I haven't been hardly anywhere in 2 years. But he's with me every way. When we were in lockdown, this was comforting. The Lord is near. He's here. He's watching over us. Some of you have walked the road of COVID personally. God bless you. The Lord is with you. He still is. He walks with us. And Gloria and I had our fill of COVID. And so that's the last word I'm going to say. I'm not even going to mention the COVID. Then he moves on to this other, to the verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's right here. And he's with us this morning. He's with our loved ones wherever they are. We have some family that's up in Massachusetts that have some issues. We've had a wonderful answer to prayer because I have to be honest, we were getting a little bit anxious about our granddaughter's husband's father, however you say that, because he had this terrible problem with the adhesions that were strangling him and he could not eat. And we prayed last night, and by the time we got back to our apartment, there was a text waiting on our phone for us saying that Rob is able to eat again. The adhesions released. I don't know what that means, other than the fact that I believe that our Lord is with us, and when we pray, he hears our prayers. And he answered. So we're rejoicing. But this scripture says, don't be anxious about things. And I want to tell you, I'm a realist. And I know I live in the same world everybody else does. And it's really easy to become anxious. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not an easy task to be anxious about nothing. But one of the ways we deal with anxiety is to understand who our Lord is. He's a sovereign, almighty God who can do the impossible. There is nothing impossible for God. Our Jesus, he is the creator of the universe. Everything we have, everything we will have, he has given it to us out of his love for us. And so when we get the right concept of God, then it's easier to set anxiety aside and say, God, here it is. Your will be done. It's a wonderful prayer, is it not, that Jesus taught his disciples, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's awesome. When you think about it, we're asking God's will to be done here on this earth just like it is in heaven. And that's where the perfect will of God is in operation. So why are we anxious? Well, these words, do not be anxious about anything, in the Greek language, is in the present imperative. Now, some of you who are English teachers and like that kind of stuff, I don't understand it all, but I do know that that present imperative is a sort of like a command. Stop being anxious. That's what Paul's saying. That's what the Word of God is saying. Just stop it. If you're anxious this morning, stop it. Don't be anxious. And if you're having a problem letting go of it, start looking up. Start reading scriptures. Start studying who our God is. The fact of the matter is, if you just started in Genesis 1 and read down through that, you find out who our sovereign God is. He's created everything. And he created it out of nothing. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, I don't think God is going to be able to do this. I don't think there's even anything in this world that could ever solve the issues that I'm facing in life. Yes, there is. It's the Word of God. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let's separate the darkness from the light, and the darkness and the light separated. He said, I want light, and so he created the sun and the moon and the stars and all the other things that are in the universe that provide light for us. We don't have to be anxious about anything. Where did all that stuff come from? It came out of the creative hand of a sovereign God who just spoke, and it came into being. Don't ask me to explain that. When we get to heaven, we'll know. Then we'll have an understanding that we can't. All that is infinite stuff. We're finite. So just accept it. God is saying to us, don't be anxious. Stop it right now. Stop being anxious this morning. Stop right now at this time in this service. If you come here anxious, stop it. That's basically what he's saying. And if we don't stop it, then we're really saying to God, in maybe not in so many words, but in our actions, I really don't trust you. But if we really trust God, then stop worrying about it. Stop being anxious. Because he has the power to do what's necessary. The neat part of it all is he wants to. That's kind of comforting, is the Lord is at hand. He's right here to take care of our anxieties. Now down to the verse that I want to spend a little bit of time, because I think it will help us to live right in an upside down world that we live in. This is very familiar. It says in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I would want to challenge you today, this week that is ahead of us, to read that verse over every day and see how many of these things you are practicing in your life. And I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't asked myself to do. And I have to be honest with you, there are times when you really fall short. You know, when the old pressures are on. But here it is. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true. It's a warning to us against mental fantasies and baseless kinds of thought that tend to be false. What's true? Well, we know where truth is. Who is truth? We know that, don't we? Jesus is the truth. So he really needs to be that one who is guiding our thought processes or allowing us to see truth or to stay in the truth. Truth is a reference to what's authentic and reliable about what God has taught us in his word. There's a lot of things that are reliable and true in this world too. You know, isn't it kind of neat when you think about the fact that most of us, until I mentioned this, have not thought about the fact that you were breathing in and out, and you were taking oxygen in, and you were exhaling, and you were breathing more in, and then you were exhaling. That's reliable truth. And it's related directly to God. We call them involuntary muscles. And I don't want to take too much time on this, but I remember about 15 years ago or 12 years ago when my dear wife came down with the myasthenia gravis. And we were all concerned because the obvious thing was the voluntary muscles. But what got really scary for me is when the involuntary muscles, like the diaphragm and the heartbeat, became an issue. Because with that particular kind of neurological situation, you know, these muscles, well, you can obviously see that because, well, I can't pick anything up anymore. But it's really scary when you can't breathe anymore because the diaphragm is not doing what it's all of us, it's been doing it since we come into the church. Well, it was doing it before we got here. Or you wouldn't be here. Think about the things that are true. God is in control. He is controlling things that we see and things that we don't see. That's the truth. We need to think about those kinds of things. The second thing is to think about the things that are honest, things that we have to do. It has to do with high moral standards. The word noble comes from a Hellenistic Greek reference, not only to those things that are fine, personal qualities, but high moral principles. That's really hard for us today. I don't know if you've noticed, we live in a really rotten world as far as moral character is concerned. From the highest officials to the lowest. Our culture today is Sodom and Gomorrah, or it might even be more than that. There may be moral issues going on in our culture today that people of Sodom and Gomorrah didn't even think about. But those things that are noble and honest, think about the things that build you up and strengthen your spiritual life and encapsulate you with the values that we learn out of God's word. things that are honest. It's more than just having honest weights. It's putting into practice every day honorable things, honest things, treating one another honestly. So very important for us. Then Paul goes on and he says things that are just or right. Think about those things that conform to God's standards and is worthy of our approval. And then he goes on to the fourth one. There's eight of them all together. The fourth one is to pure, whatsoever things are pure. And the illustration that I've used over and over, and I may have used it here sometime or another. But when I think about purity, I think about what a silversmith has to go through to get pure silver, or what the silver has to go through to be pure. The hotter the fire, the purer the silver. The hotter the fire, the more the dross comes to the top and is skimmed off. If you stop only halfway through that process, you do not have very pure silver. God wants us to be pure. And it's a process. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you have to go through some very fiery trials. But I think that the Apostle Paul said, when you go through those fiery trials, you will come out the other end pure. Because God is taking those impurities out of our life. Think on these things. Examine your heart. Are you trying to get out of the fire? Or are you saying, Lord, whatever it takes, refine my life so that I am a witness for you and that my life amounts to something? And the fifth one is, whatsoever things are lovely or pleasing or winsome. In the Song of Solomon, which are a whole bunch of love letters when you read through it, but they're all referring to the relationship of man to our Savior. Our Savior is our groom. He's the one who's coming for us. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, it says, yes, he is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. And Solomon, when he was writing those things, he was thinking about his Savior, or the one that was his love. Do you love Jesus? Do you have a passion for Jesus? Think about that. Think about how much he loves us and how much he has given for us. It's immeasurable. When I think of that which is lovely, I can't help but think of that part in 1 Corinthians where we read, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not speak its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Think on those things. Not just about what other people are doing with it. Think about it, what we are doing with the love that lives within us. He is altogether lovely. And he can change our attitudes. I have to be honest with you, there are some people in this world today that I really don't like. And it isn't just the fact that I don't like them as a person. I don't like what their life is. I'm not going to mention names. You all have people like that. If you watch the news, you can say, I don't. But in my heart, and I've said this in my home, I can't stand that person. But I love him or her. I love him because God loves him. And my God is in control of what that person's doing. And in his time, he will make things right. Now, I might be lying in the ground when that happens. But God's going to do his work and his will. Then it talks about good report, good reputation, doing admirable things. We need to dwell on what's positive rather than on what is negative. Try to do that with all of your heart. Trust God that you see the good in things and not the bad. I mean, I don't see the bad in things because I don't watch the news. But if you're watching the news religiously every day and being bombarded with all of that kind of stuff, there's not always very good news. But we need to concentrate on that which is around us that is positive and not that which is negative. The seventh one is virtue, simply meaning excellence, living a life of moral excellence, being pure in heart and honest in heart, being able to distinguish from what's right and what's wrong. And the eighth one is anything praiseworthy. One of the things that I miss very much is when churches stopped having testimony meetings. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It is really encouraging, when people can stand up in the congregation, in the within the family of God, and feel comfortable to say, this is what God has done for me. And I want to praise him today, and I want you to join me in praising him. Because we had an answer to prayer last night. We prayed, and within 20 minutes, we had an answer to prayer. Whoa. So I'm praising him today. It's praiseworthy. God intervened in what seemed to us to be impossible. This man did not have a good prognosis. If it didn't happen, he would probably have died because he wasn't getting nourished. So within 20 minutes of the time that we prayed that to the time I got back to our apartment and we read the text through, it was praiseworthy. And so Glory got on the phone and called back to the place where we were, where we had just offered that prayer, to offer praise to the Lord. For he is good. His mercies are everlasting. And he loves us so much. There are a couple principles, three in all, that I want to share with you that we can get glean out of this portion of Scripture. The first principle that comes to my mind is our mind is a port of entry into our souls. Now, what we see, what we hear are all ports that are feeding information into our minds. That is an important principle. We have to be careful what we see, what we deliberately listen to. Sometimes you have to hear stuff because you can't get away from it. But we need to really guard the port of entry into our hearts and our minds, because the devil will take advantage of you. If you have a particular weakness that you keep, this is a sin that keeps repeating itself over and over again, you really need to be on your knees before God and say, "Oh God, cleanse my heart, purify me, remove that, close off that negative port of entry of things that are coming into my mind that are changing my thinking and trying to conform me to this world." One of the ways that we can win the victory is by being in God's Word. We need to be saturating our minds with God's Word. Don't be afraid to memorize it. I struggle. Years ago, I used to memorize my sermons when I was preaching down in Somerdale and different places. I didn't have my notes in front of me because the port of entry was a little clearer, or the gray matter that was inside was a little more sensitive or something. I can't do that now. But we have to guard what we allow in our minds. And so don't be afraid to memorize Scripture. And you'll be surprised if you say, "Oh, I can't do that. I'm such and such an age, and I'm beyond having the ability to memorize stuff." No, you're not. Just do it. You might be surprised how much of the Word of God you can hide in your heart. Many a night when I go to sleep, before I go to sleep, not while I'm sleeping, before I go to sleep, I will be quoting different portions of Scripture that I have memorized because I don't want to lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And so I would strongly encourage you, even if it's only a verse a day or a portion of Scripture a week, every day rehearse it over and over in your mind. That way you're guarding the input channels of what's coming into your mind, because it will definitely affect the output. If you want to have an impact in the world, what comes out of our hearts is very important. And people today are looking for stability. So this is a very important principle that had come to my attention that I want to do something about. And then the principle of meditation, or thinking about it. And then I think it's really important not only to memorize portions of Scripture and to meditate upon it, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to quit with these thoughts here. We really need to do it. What the Word of God tells us and teaches us should be directing our actions every day, whether it's in the business world or in the education field, whatever. People who are retired, We need to be doing something. And I can tell you from personal experience, if you're not doing something, the old devil, he gets his big old doubt club out and he starts beating you over the head with it. You're worthless. What are you even living for? Look at you. We need to be busy about doing what God is asking us to do. One of the things that we can do is to take this beautiful verse 8 and put it into practice in our lives. And then Paul sums that whole verse up in verse 9. He says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. Paul's a good example because he did it. He was out where the rubber meets the road. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to, my testimony this morning is, as long as the Lord gives me breath, I want to be out there doing it. It may not have the same impact that it did 40 years ago or whatever, but I still want to be out there honoring my Jesus. It's worth it. He's worth it.